Going into this past Tuesday's midterm elections here in New Jersey, there are two large camps of people, I guess you can say. Those who believe that due to the district maps, all seats are safe seats. Then you had those who believed they were incumbents who were weak and could actually fall. Reality turned up sort of in the middle. Do the results offer lessons for the future of politics in the state, or do they solidify the status quo? My first guest today joins us to discuss all this. He is a former New Jersey state legislature, managing member of the law firm Wisniewski & Associates, LLC, John Wisniewski. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Good to have you here. WisniewskiLaw.com. We have that link over to our webpage as well. I'm going to focus on three of the districts. We'll start with the 7th, go over to the 5th, and wind up in the 11th. In the 7th, that featured the incumbent Representative Tom Malinowski going against Republican challenger Tom Kane Jr., with the result being a win by Tom Kane, which a lot of people are calling this a flip. But in effect, John, wasn't it just a return to the party that really should have never lost that seat to begin with?
Well, the party that lost that seat to begin with lost it in a different district, right? The district at the time the seat was held by former Congressman Leonard Lance had a lot more Democrats in it than it does today. A legislative redistricting that took place this past year changed the makeup of the district, took some of the favorable Democratic residents out, moved it into an adjoining congressional district, making it a district that Tom Kane had a lot easier opportunity to win.
And certainly RNC parachuted pretty much a campaign staff to help his cause, didn't they?
Sure. Well, that's, you know, whether it's the RNC or the Republican Congressional Committee, just like the Democratic Congressional Committee, when they see opportunities to pick up a district, they invest money, manpower, personnel.
This was from the RNC. They sent information out saying that they had 15 staff on the ground. They recruited 4,500 volunteers. And throughout the state, they had 891 poll watchers. But the focus, they also gave in, I believe it was $4 million into the Keene campaign. I guess that just demonstrates, too, how the RNC wanted to ensure the red wave that they were anticipating didn't happen, obviously, and they were looking at every possible, almost sure thing to make it a sure thing.
Yeah, I think that they were overconfident because they were touting a 40, 50, 60 member wave, and in fact, it might not be 6 or 7. There are places like the 7th where the demographics of the district change, and it was clearly an opportunity for them to pick up. But there were a lot of places in the country in which the RNC or the Republican Campaign Committee really overestimated what they thought they'd be able to do.
It was also one of the districts where abortion really didn't play a role, because Kane had a record of voting against any kind of abortion access, even though the Democrats tried to point that out, just didn't seem to stick, and you know, the result wound up being what it was.
Well, I think that it helped Tom Malinowski, but when you have that type of change in voting population where you now have a more favorable Republican population, even those issues, while they help, may not necessarily be enough.
Moving over to the 5th district, that was where incumbent Democrat Josh Gottheimer went up against, again, Republican Frank Pallotta, with the results being, again, a relatively easy win for Gottheimer. But why were there a significant number of people thinking this could be a flip?
Well, I think that, again, the overhyping of the so-called red wave that never materialized. There were a lot of pundits who were thinking that because of suburban Bergen County having a lot of voters who sometimes go back and forth between the two parties, that it was a possibility. I never thought it was a possibility for a flip. I always thought that Congressman Gottheimer really has done an outstanding job there and really cemented his incumbency in there, and there was not going to be any change, in my opinion.
Is also a case where people are forgetting, because of the way the map has been redrawn, this is a place for a moderate to excel and not a partisan.
Yeah, well, there are, look, depending on from what side you approach the issue, Josh is no doubt still a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He's maybe not as uber liberal as other places in the state, but it's still a Democratic district. The redistricting a decade ago made it a Democratic district. Remember, that was Scott Garrett's district for a long time, and before that, Marge Rockema. And so that district is now firmly a Democratic district, and the kind of work that Josh Gottheimer has been doing and the way he's been representing himself and the party in that is going to ensure that he's there for a long time.
Certainly doesn't hurt either that he can go out there and raise $14 million, well, more than $14 million at the end of the election. He's still sitting on $14 million. That's how much he raised. So he might be a textbook example of how to finance your own campaign.
Well, no doubt in every congressional district, the metric is raise an ungodly sum of money because you're going to need it. There's no doubt always your opponent looking for an opportunity to attack. So you not only have to have the money to defend yourself, but also to get your own message out early so that you're able to define yourself and remind the voters of the work you've done over the past 2 years.
Gottheimer also got a helping hand, too, financially and otherwise, from Mike Bloomberg, because that was a little payback with Gottheimer endorsing Bloomberg's short-lived presidential campaign back in 2020. We're talking with John Wisniewski, former state legislature managing member of the law firm Wisniewski & Associates, LLC. WisniewskiLaw.com is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Another one who some were saying was going to fall or at least face a significant challenge was in the 11th District with Representative Mikey Sherrill, the Democratic incumbent, going against Republican Paul DeGroote, but she is now going for a third term. Mission accomplished for the military veteran.
Yeah, well, again, part of this is about map making and how the map is drawn. Her district got stronger in the last redistricting, but she's also done a very good job. She's been a middle-of-the-road Democrat. She's appealed to the center of largely the Morris and Essex County portions of her district, and that's what got her reelected.
You look back to when she won her first election in that seat, and she had flipped it for, it had been held by Republicans for decades. She first won that seat by 15 points, and doesn't look like her margin of victory is going to be getting any smaller in any election anytime soon.
Yes, remember, that was a district that had been held by Rodney Frelinghuysen for many years and Republicans before him. That district now is safely in Democratic hands and will be for a long time.
What is it that the Republicans are missing out on that they, in these districts and others where they were the on the losing end, wasn't even really a close race in most of these instances?
Well, I think what's happened is the Republican Party has been transformed into, you know, a Trump fan club, and moderate New Jersey voters don't like that. They really can't support candidates who are, you know, participating in what is current Republican Party orthodoxy, which means you've got to be an election denier and you've got to engage in conspiracy theories and. Voters don't like that, and I think that the Republican Party nationally is going to be looking at the outcome of this election saying, traditionally, an election midterm for a new president is an opportunity for the opposing party to pick up seats. They blew it. They had the opportunity. They blew it entirely because they were so closely aligned with Donald Trump, and the voters rejected that.
Although there's always an exception to the rule, and maybe in New Jersey at least, that one case could be Jeff Van Drew because he went from Democrat to, I guess you'd call him a textbook Trumplican.
Yeah, well, you know, that district has always been an anomaly in New Jersey. Jeff had taken it from Republican hands into Democratic hands, and now it's back in Republican hands because of Jeff. But that's more of a phenomena about the personality. I served with Jeff in the legislature before he got into the Assembly and then into the state Senate. He was a freeholder, now called county commissioner. He's worked it really hard. He's got a you know, a good work ethic in that district. And so while he's still on the playing field as a candidate, it's going to be a Jeff Van Drew district. Now, when he retires, moves on to something else, I think that there's an opportunity for that district to come back in Democratic hands.
the end result of all these, all the midterms, the New Jersey House delegation for next term will stand with 9 Democrats and 3 Republicans. And the page turns to the race for governor, because, and you could tell Governor Murphy has out, talked about this a moment ago here on the show, because he wants to reinstitute the bear hunt. So he's got one foot out the door already. Otherwise, I doubt he would even do something like that. And always interesting when a governor's race comes up, because you just never know who's going to step in, do you?
Well, you know, that's New Jersey's blessed with an election cycle every year, so there's always something to talk about. And before one is over, people are already talking about the next one or even the one after that. 2023 is going to be an important year, because 120 members of the General Assembly and the Senate are all up for re-election. They'll be running for the first time under a new legislative map as well. That map has moved Democratic populations around, so there'll be some Democrats running in districts that are less friendly than they have been. There'll be some Republicans running in districts that'll be more friendly than they have been. And there'll be a lot of money invested in making sure that either side, you know, the Democrats will put a lot of money into holding on to the majority, and the Republicans will see if they can take over.
It's always a great spectator sport, to be sure. We've been joined by the former New Jersey State Legislature, now managing member of the law firm Wisniewski & Associates, LLC. On the web, it's wisniewskilaw.com. John Wisniewski, thank you so much for your insight into what could be confusing for some people, and you help make sense of it. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the opportunity.